Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and listeners, you might want to start watching where you step, because starting on February 14th, tomorrow, New York City streets will be taken over by more than 3,000 show dogs for the annual Westminster Dog Show. But before the best of the best compete at Madison Square Garden, we're going to talk about America's fascination with pedigree and some of the problems with the way we gravitate more to specific breeds. Here to discuss the biting history of pedigree dogs is Michael Brando, former New York City dog walker and author of a new book called A Matter of Breeding. Michael, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian.
First, what is it about a pure breed, like a German Shepherd or pick your one, that people love so much? Is it the purity itself or is it something else?
Well, I think it's this myth of purity. There is no such thing as pure blood. We've been taught to believe so, but in fact, this actually works against canine health.
Against canine health. And how much is your book really an animal rights complaint against what has become a pure breeding industry?
Well, it's partly about that. It's partly about dog health, but it's actually even less about dogs. It's more about people. It's about this attraction to lineage and looks in dogs and how this came about, how our assumption that we even need a purebred as a pet came about.
Give me an example. How did it come about?
Well, we were taught by the AKC in the early 20th century that
that's the American Kennel Club.
The American Kennel Club, when they first started focusing on an emerging consumer market here in this country, that owning a dog with a pedigree was a way to improve your own family tree. And it sounds kind of silly, but it was that original snob appeal that hooked American consumers into believing that good old-fashioned mutts that had served them for eons were no longer good enough.
Was it also the way they look or the way they behave or just knowing that they're pure breeds and that that itself confers status?
Well, having papers, which mean pretty much nothing, are part of the appeal, but a certain signature looks. Dogs were standardized. It started in Victorian England. They were standardized into the modern commercial breeds we know today and seem to think we need. It's these signature looks that get us recognized on the sidewalk as owning something of that costs a certain amount of money and shows a certain level of refinement and taste in these four-legged luxury items, basically, is what they are.
Four-legged luxury items. So where do the newer sort of hybrid breeds fit in to all of this? The Labradoodle and the Puggle, which are crossbreeds but so popular, and yet they're not pedigree in the old sense, right?
No, they're not, and they are offering a chance for healthier dogs on a limited scale. Unfortunately, that isn't really happening because much like purebreds, they're bred for looks alone, not for health. And they're bred in puppy mill situations just like many purebreds are.
Listeners want to call in and talk about dog breeding? Do specific breeds hold a special place in your heart? Are you concerned about some of the health issues my guest is raising? Anything about this? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Do you just want to call up and show a little love for your pug? 212-433-9692. Let's talk about some of the health issues with pugs and French bulldogs. Apparently, more and more breathing problems, you write about, because of their smushed-in faces and arthritis in their hips.
Well, yeah, certain breeds, I honestly believe, should be discontinued. That doesn't mean killing dogs. That just means not breeding this type anymore. Certain signature looks we've come to expect, these breed standards that dogs are held up against in the ring have been interpreted in such extreme ways that it's actually breed standards have become life-threatening in some cases.
And as a matter of breeding, why would it be if they occur naturally, if these are pure breeds, which means these breeds occurred naturally in nature, and just making sure in some of the lines that they continue to be purebred, if that's the right word, why would that create health problems?
Well, that's just it. These don't occur naturally in nature. The natural dog, the more you crossbreed a dog, the more it closer it comes to being the original natural dog. If you want a natural dog, go to India and see pariah dogs. Those are beautiful, healthy, functional dogs. That's a natural dog. A show dog is an artificial, commercial creation.
Matt in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Matt.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Being from another part of the country, it always struck me when I moved here that the dog, especially the purebred dog, serves the same function socially as a car does in other parts of the country. Do you see people on the sidewalk admiring each other's dogs? Nice Weimaraner, nice Labradoodle, as they would in another part of the country saying, oh, nice Porsche, or where'd you get that Corvette?
You like that analogy?
Well, actually, that is people behave as though they're in car clubs. They meet on certain corners. They have Pug Hill in Central Park. It's very much like honking at someone who has a Chevy. It's a camaraderie.
Cam in Brooklyn, who owns a French bulldog. Hi, Cam.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I just wanted to comment on the skin allergy that my French bulldog faces, 3 years old.
Skin? Did you say skin allergy?
Skin allergies. He's basically allergic to everything. And sometimes when he has these breakouts, he develops these hives all over his body. And we end up having to go to the vet to not only get cortisone shots and antihistamines, but it carries on. It's a couple of day-long process.
Is this a common pattern?
This is one of many inherited problems in French bulldogs. These dogs are in big trouble. I'm hoping that's all you see in the dog.
Did you have any inkling that this would be the case when you got this dog?
We had a neighbor that in his, I know the lighter skin breeds, like fawn color, they have larger, more profound issues, I believe, in terms of allergies and skin disorders. Mine is he's black and white. He's got a black mask. So we were unsure exactly how bad it would be, but it's a constant issue. And it's not just seasonal weather related, which some people think it is. It's more in terms of, I don't know if it's dust or sometimes or the pollen or really huge food.
Can trigger even skin outbreaks. Why were you attracted, if I may ask, in your case, to getting a French bulldog in particular?
Just their demeanor. They're incredible apartment dogs. They're always lounging around. They're content.
Cam, thank you very much. So that's stuff other than status and even other than looks. Good apartment dogs.
Well, any dog can be a good apartment dog. You don't need a dog that looks like a French bulldog. And this business about having a fawn-colored dog, why choose that if there's a higher risk of allergies? That's what really gets me angry.
Heidi in Forest Hills, you're on WNYC. Hi, Heidi.
Hello. Wow, I can't believe you're okay, hi. I called because I feel so passionately about this.
Wait, if you called, then don't be surprised that we took your call.
Okay, I've never done this before. So I was fascinated with the breed Australian Shepherd, and I just loved the way they looked, and I just wanted an Australian Shepherd. So I got one. This is about 14 years ago, and I bought him, I think it's horrible, bought him from a breeder, and life was wonderful until, well, he was born with some genetic abnormalities. He was missing a tooth. He had an undescended testicle, but he was great, and I loved him, and around 2 years old, all of a sudden, I thought he was dying, but what it turned out to be was an epileptic fit.
Oh, my.
And he had what is called idiopathic epilepsy, and he lived until he was 11. I called the breeder finally about 6 months later, and she said that it was a mistake in breeding, and there was another puppy from that breed, whatever that marriage was, that also developed epilepsy, and she'd be happy to take the dog back, which, of course, I could not do.
Mm.
I loved my dog, but I just want to say he and I had a very difficult life because of the epilepsy.
So do you feel that you learned something about breeding from this experience?
Yes. I would never, ever again get a purebred dog. I would definitely go to a rescue place and get a dog and I Australian Shepherds, they're wonderful dogs. They're very smart. They need a tremendous amount of attention, and they're just wonderful. And I don't know. I certainly believe that you can get a wonderful, brilliant dog that isn't a purebred dog.
Heidi, thank you so much. And you've brought a big smile to the face of my guest. Do you want to talk more about rescuing dogs?
Well, this goes beyond the question of rescuing as opposed to buying dogs, which is on everyone's minds these days. This is about people often seeking out breeds that are visibly deformed, like pugs and French bulldogs and bulldogs. You're just asking for trouble. And they're almost guaranteed to start falling apart the moment you get them home. This epilepsy thing is no longer an exception. It's becoming the rule in many breeds. I've known golden retrievers, German shepherds that start having seizures before they're a year old. I mean, there's too much information out there to be in denial anymore and say you didn't know.
My guest, Michael Brando, for another few minutes, author of A Matter of Breeding. Then Laura Poitras is going to join us. You know, she's one of the journalists who Edward Snowden leaked his material to in that hotel in Hong Kong about 2 years ago. And she made a movie of that whole thing. And that movie is now up for Best Documentary for the Oscars. So Laura Poitras is going to join us. We'll play clips from her film Citizen 4 coming up in just a few minutes. But before we finish with Michael Brando and A Matter of Breeding, the Westminster Dog Show is starting in New York, one of the biggest dog shows in the country. Here's a clip from the Christopher Guest film, Best in Show, where Frank Higgins, who plays one of the show's commentators, talks about a bloodhound that's competing.
You know what would be funny? I don't know if they can do this, just an idea off the top of my head. Why didn't he put the bloodhound, put on one of those Sherlock Holmes hats and put a little pipe in his mouth? Are they ever allowed to do anything like that, dress up a dog in a funny way?
No, that's not quite what the purpose of these shows is.
But it would, I think it would really get the crowd going. You know what I mean? The Sherlock
Absolutely,
Holmes hat
yes.
with the pipe. I don't know if you could make it look like smoke's coming out of the pipe.
I think that would be a little dangerous.
I'd get a kick out of it.
So that clip from Best in Show, and obviously that's an exaggeration, but what would you like to say about the dog show world? Did you see that film, by the way? Did it do it justice?
Oh, it's one of my favorites. I have the DVD at home. Dog shows have only added bad things to dogs. I mean, dogs are given prizes in the ring based on looks alone, not genetic health, not sound construction. It's all about looks, and some very bizarre looks based on archaic breed standards that someone whipped up a century ago for reasons we can't even remember.
The Humane Society just released an expose on the American Kennel Club, a big
Yes.
player at the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show. The report alleges that the Kennel Club regularly fights legislation to stop puppy mills. What's your take on that?
Well, the AKC has been making its earnings from puppy mills ever since they started. We just didn't call them puppy mills.
Can I ask, what is a puppy mill? What does that actually mean? What do they do?
There's a legal definition. I think it's the large-scale breeder. I think it's 30 dogs or more. It's a dog that produces a certain number of a kennel that produces a certain number of dogs. The thing about this, about fighting legislation, the AKC posts ads for lawyers. I've read them, recruiting them and training them as legislative liaisons, they call them. These lawyers go out in courts around the country and fight against legislation restricting puppy mills and trying to keep them open. And the other thing people don't realize about puppy mills is that they are a large part of the AKC's income. In fact, they are funding the Westminster Dog Show. So when you tune in next week, if you really must, consider that it's animal suffering that's paying for your entertainment.
An important expose, this book by Michael Brando, A Matter of Breeding. I do want to end on a lighter note, though, because the same American Kennel Club said the bulldog officially surpassed the lab as New York's favorite dog. Now, as a former New York City dog walker yourself, is this consistent with your observations?
Yes, and it gets me so mad because the health insurance companies are saying the bulldog is the most unhealthy breed on the market.
Michael Brando, former New York City dog walker, and now the author of A Matter of Breeding. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, Laura Poitras, and Citizen 4 next. Stay tuned.